The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 594. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
The power world is really blurring the line between eugenics and war crimes.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
Right, Manny, for some reason the microphone decided I'm gonna be muted today. Fucking stupid. Why I had you do it again. And of course, OBS being stupid, people can hear us but they can't see us, so I need to fix this real quick. Jesus, there's always something with this fucking app, bruh. You know,
Adam was right.
It? There it is. Yeah, it's always something. All right, they can see us now. We're back. We'll see what happens with we'll see what happens with Chrissy. Probably will show up later, but we are here to answer your questions, Pete.
Brett, speaking of the future dystopia, did you see Neuromancer's getting a adaptation?
In real life?
Well, besides real life, but it is going to be a new TV show.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm actually curious about that, but how will I know it's fiction?
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, man, let's jump into these questions, bro. Kiss Shaq starts us off here. Are the hashtag no disc, no buy movements actions hurting their cause? Their strategy of spamming anyone affiliated with Sony often turns vitriolic towards gamers who don't immediately take their side. Resorting to insults like bootlicker over a difference of opinion is counterproductive at best. In my opinion, the Stop Killing Games initiative approached consumer advocacy with much more class and maturity. Great question. And this is something I experienced on Friday. I tweeted out that I just find it funny how I have been very vocally for this cause from the jump, right? Yet I started being attacked by these people because I dared to question their actions, like I did on the show the other day. I said, guys, please use a sniper rifle instead of a shotgun. You can't just spray everywhere. Got to be more direct if you want your message to be clear. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I started getting attacked, and then I was like, oh wait, you only play digital, you fucking asshole. So I'm like, okay, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm going to stop responding to these people or even looking into this topic because, again, I was sympathetic to the cause. And I know if I keep staying in there, I'm going to turn the other way against these motherfuckers. I don't want that to happen. So I'm just going to bow out, you know. But the problem is this is going to be happening with a lot of people. I've spoken to a couple of colleagues and they're like, yeah, I was sympathetic too. But now I'm not going to bother supporting these people because they're acting fucking crazy, you know. It's a sad state of affairs, man. I mean, fucking even just the regular Sony Twitter is getting attacked because it posted something about vinyl records and shit. It's like, again, guys, I'm with you, but you got to be more precise. But now everybody's getting, if you're not 100% on their side, you're the fucking enemy to them. I don't want to turn around and go, fuck you guys, I want you to fail. Because I know I'm prone to that shit, you know? So I'm going to lean back and not get engaged anymore, you know? You're lost, guys. You know, good luck. That's all I'm gonna wish you. Good fucking luck, you know? What about the rest of you guys? Have you noticed the, rising anger of these people?
I think it's a lot of it's just going everywhere, where it's like, even if it's a little bit something that's questioning, some of these start to come after you. I haven't seen it directly at me, but definitely saw it when that happened to you. And I also see the other end of it where Gene Park is essentially like fucking like,
Gene Park, bro. You guys unlocked a different side of this man. You know?
Yeah, that, yeah, like, he's on top of every single person. He's calling people worms and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, yo, man, y'all thought this dude was just a mild-mannered little Asian dude.
Yeah. Listen, look what you pushed Gene Park to. Now he's calling dudes creatures and shit. It's hilarious.
Cretans.
Yeah, Cretans.
Okay, you know?
Go ahead, bro. That's yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Cretan is more fair and accurate than creature. Like, that's...
Yeah. It's also classier. I like that word, Cretan.
You know? Cretan!
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny because literally on the Thursday show, I was on here saying, I'm on your side, guys. Just be more tactful. Then the next fucking day, I start getting it. Like, all right, here we go.
They don't.
they were like, oh, well, all we want from you is some sympathy. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Have you not read the tweets? Have you not listened to the fucking podcast? You know? I've shown but sympathy for you. Again, that's why I'm holding myself back, Manny, because there's that part of me that wants to be like, okay, motherfuckers, how about I turn it around?
You know? I also think, like, you also have to blame social media in general in the way for most things. Like, you could say anything, like, that might sound like a slightly more controversial statement will get pushed to people that will normally follow you. You know, like I made like a silly post about like, you know, somebody comparing the shots from the new Neuromancer show to shots from Johnny Mnemonic. And I was like, hey, guys, don't tell them that Johnny Mnemonic and Neuromancer are in the same universe and they have the same characters in them. And then you see a bunch of people you know, guys.
Yeah, no, it's social media. That's exactly what it is. It just causes people to just, you know.
Well, I also think, I think it knows what will get in your craw, and it'll promote it to people. Like, even if it is just a benign statement about, like, hey, you know, like, I didn't like the way this thing was. And they're like, you're an idiot. You know, like some person who doesn't even fucking follow you just randomly rolls up in your fucking comments.
That happened. Yeah, I'm like, who are you? You know, and like, I don't go into your bitch ass comments to say anything, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. I worry that these guys are going to, they're already losing the plot. You know, it's like in the end, people are going to turn against you and they're going to actively want you to fail. That's that good, you know, but it is what it is, man. So again, good luck, fellas. Good luck. You know, you ain't getting my support anymore. That's for damn sure. I'm not going to go against you, but I'm not going to support you anymore. You know? All right. Anybody else want to jump in on that?
I haven't seen any of this stuff, but I mean, I'm not surprised. Here's the thing. People online, whenever there's a movement for anything, they all just want you to sigh and toe the line. And and that's all what social media is for. Is it's you're either peddling a message or not. If you're not, you're on the other side. You don't follow all the orders. You're the enemy.
This is true. This is true. Shout out to Chris, who showed up. So Chris, we were just talking about how, you know, the no diss, no buy people are potentially hurting their cause because now they're even coming after people like me who are supportive of them just because I'm not 100% on their side. I don't know if you've seen some of this insanity on Twitter lately.
No, but I mean, again, we were just talking about this Thursday, and it's like you have to pick your battles. Your battles with Sony are to explain where the battlefield is the wallet, right? It's PS Plus, it's PS Plus subscriptions, it's monthly active users. That's the battlefield. That's the only thing that Sony... Sorry, I almost said Nintendo. The only thing Sony...
You were about to say Nintendo.
I was, yes. Yes. But yeah, that's only any company. It's Microsoft, they're all the same. They only understand when their net sales and their revenue is hit. And it has to be hit significantly. Lashing out at people, especially us or whatever that's on your side, like, yes, you know, I don't want physical media to die. I just went to Classic Game Fest. I look for old games to purchase that I've had copies of them. I don't have my copy of, like, Revenge of Shinobi. I went looking for it because I lost my old one. I lost it years ago. I don't know if I lent it to a friend back in junior high. I don't have it anymore. So I went looking for it, right? I found it. So I have it. And those are very important to me. I understand that's important to a lot of people. But the whole no disc, no buy cannot be flailing around in every direction at people who are not completely behind you. Because there's a way to fight this, and we already talked about it. And then just saying, like, Well, yelling at an indie studio that you're not going to buy their game unless they press it for you is ridiculous. And then yelling at guys like Tony because they're like, hey, you know, there's some things that just can't be done. And you're like, oh, if you're not with us, you're getting... That binary thinking is stupid. And you're just being ridiculous. You have to think about what it is. You cannot go to Sony events and yell at them, no this, no buy. That's not going to do anything. You can't ask them ridiculous questions. That's not going to do anything. You can't sign a petition. That's not going to do anything. None of these things work. You have to make a decision that, hey, I'm not going to support you monetarily. That's it. I'm out. Unless you're going to provide physical games, I'm not on your platform anymore. And you make that statement. Even if you go to PC and just go, I'm just going to use GOG and Steam. Yeah, those aren't physical either. But there's things you can do to back up those games or whatever. But the statement stands. You move away from the platform that is not supporting the thing you want. That's it.
Yep. Well said. All right. Moving on here. Yo, what's going on today? Hold on real quick to the people in the chat. What's going on, Fergus? He goes, not sure, you know, not sure if it's just me, but everyone outside of Tony's audio sounds like they are speaking through a karaoke phone. What the fuck? Let me see. All right, let's try that again.
It could absolutely be the, you know, just the way it sounds okay on your side, though, right?
Yeah, it sounds fine. Yeah. No, again, OBS with the bullshit. We were starting the show. It was one audio track. And then I come to look, it's two audio tracks. I'm pretty sure it sounds fine now, doesn't it, guys? Manny, say something real quick. Word, yep, there it is. There it is. It's stupid. Why does it keep reverting to the old settings that I don't want? Yeah. Again, guys, if you ever hear any audio bullshit, do not hesitate. Let us know because we are here to give you the best quality possible. You know, so got to speak up, and I'm glad you did. So shout out, you know. All right. Somebody wanted to say something before we move on?
Yeah, Tony, I have to stop you. Yes, OBS is the culprit, but really it's Sony because they said you guys are talking about no diss, no buy. We're going to sabotage the audio on this podcast as a result. So yeah, that's what it is.
You're right about that. Oh, man. All right. Now we'll move on. Cuban Boss. What's going on, brother? Did the recent AWS outage give people a glimpse of what an all-digital gaming future could entail? I don't think glimpse is the operative word. The word you should say is a reminder. Because we've had this shit happen before. You know, AWS comes down and then all these other networks just come down and shit. You know, and it always seems to happen during a weekend of a beta for a big game. Like, this time it was the TOCON beta. You know, that the fucking PlayStation Network goes down. Granted, this time it didn't go down as long as the last time it went down a few months ago. It was like for 2 days or something, you know? But yeah, it's not that a glimpse. It's a reminder. When we go all digital and the servers go down, you ain't playing shit, you know? So
yeah, I mean, other than you can't play online. And if you have a game that needs to call home, which a lot of them do these days, mm-hmm. You're going to even be able to play them.
Yeah. DN Hoffer says, I'm sick of PlayStation being blamed for digital. Anyone heard of Game Pass? That's a different thing, bro. You know, you got to hold the company's feet to the fire. You can't just be, you know, just taking whatever they give you, you know.
And Game Pass, they're literally telling you these games do not belong to you. It's like,
yeah, they're flat. Yeah, they're being very honest. And, you know, at least right now, Xbox has not told you they're going to take your disc away. You know,
they haven't said that. And then they also chime in with the fact that, oh, hey, you can play some of your favorite Xbox classic games on which some of those games, most of those games were not available.
So, yeah. Yeah. But again, we've talked about this before. It's like, yeah, if the servers go down, you ain't playing nothing. You know, even like Manny, like you said, even with single player games, I need to call home.
Yes. Some single player games have to call home for some silly reason that they need to throw something back at them or collect some sort of data and they don't work.
Yeah. It's happened to me.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. There was one time where it was a big outage. I'm like, okay, I don't care. I only play single player games anyway. I couldn't play any of my fucking games, you know, because you couldn't call home.
Good luck connecting to the Capcom servers when you're playing Resident Evil.
Right? So yeah, it's just a reminder, you know, of what to expect in an all digital world. It's just how it is, man. You know, but yes, it was AWS because a lot of people thought it was you know, that PlayStation anonymous got again? Hacked. Yeah, anonymous, but no, this was a even my company had to deal with some bullshit that morning because everything's tied into AWS, which is annoying, you know. Because yeah, well, I go, what the fuck's going on with the back end? You know, it's like, oh, the AWS is down. Yay! let's move on here. Yeah, go ahead, Carlos. Yeah,
I got PTSD from that stuff.
Food.
It's crazy how much just is impacted by where a whole sector of tech and websites and all that stuff can be just thrown down because of
crazy. It's wild. All right, man, another question here from Mr. Cuban Boss. Are the numbers on digital versus physical missing a lot of context? I ask because every single one of my coworkers buys physical games, yet I see stores carrying fewer and fewer discs, which forces people to either buy digitally or wait for a physical release months later, which can give them FOMO and pull the trigger on a digital copy anyway. Interesting question. So I it seems to me like the harder question is like, are people being tricked into buying digital? I could be reading that question wrong. That's what it seemed like.
I mean, what Rockstar is doing with GTA.
Yeah. That's kind of what is happening. Like they're narrowing the different roads that you can take. In other words, as we go further and further down this thing that we're obviously getting funneled. There's no question why. So like, if it wasn't happening, why aren't more titles being released physically? When you look at the amount of digital releases, and you look at the offerings for physical, it's a big difference.
Yeah. More games exist digitally than physically. So obviously, if you look at the numbers, digital is going to look bigger naturally, you know? So I think that's part of the, you know, the numbers not exactly telling you what the deal is. But at the same time, you know, stores are carrying less and less physical. So there's got to be something there.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing about it is that they also not only, you know, also, I think, as I remember, you know, those companies also pay for the space in their store. So obviously, you know, it's obvious that Xbox is definitely spending less on their space within stores, because if you've ever looked at an Xbox section at a place like a Target, they're just like one or two shelves. And they don't have any games on display. They just have those cards and then accessories. So it's the console, those cards, and on one little shelf, and on another little thing is where all their accessories. I just think that it's like they have to make the orders. I think they're just like, you know what? You see more space devoted to actual physical books than you do for video games. That's crazy. More space for vinyl records in a place like a Target than there are for games now.
Yeah. For books, I get it because book people tend to buy them physical. That's just what they prefer. I can't explain vinyl. That's interesting to me, you know?
No, there's a resurgence in vinyl. And, you know, not even movies are getting like any space in stores. Like Best Buy doesn't have any of that stuff.
So is there more demand for vinyl than there are for games? That seems a little weird.
I don't know, because I think, as I remember, it's still considered a niche market. But if you have Sony continuing to produce LPs and CDs, there must be some sort of market there.
Yeah. Well, there's a market for physical games, too. But for some reason, they want to cut that off. Yeah. There's obviously a market for physical games,
but,
you know.
But also, and I said this on my Twitter post. I'm like, do also have to keep in mind that there are also divisions within each of parts of Sony, their own separate entities. So
there's a lot of divisions of Sony that don't necessarily talk to each other.
Yeah, the music division is probably like, hey, listen, we're making good money on this. We're not going to stop making fucking the CDs and LPs.
That's 100% right.
The margins are much bigger when it comes to selling music as opposed to streaming it. And like you mentioned, like Manny mentioned earlier, it's the whole funneling into digital with video games. Because back in the day, you used to have manuals. You used to have the games within the disc or in the cartridge. Now you don't. You barely have anything. You barely have album art. It's all generic. It's you don't have manuals. You don't have, you know, cover art album art stuff. Like, you don't have all that stuff anymore. It's all just, you know, a piece of plastic with a cover and a disc that may or may not contain the game. So they're really pointing you in a direction where they want you to go. And with vinyl, at least, you know, you got this huge album art. You got the music and the discs, and maybe you got some extra artwork and stuff to check out like that. So it's a lot more physical.
Yes,
for lack of a better word, it's a lot more physical. Something more physical for people to enjoy as opposed
yeah.
to
yeah, definitely a more tangible experience. Than gaming, which is just an empty box now. It's an empty box. It's crazy, man. All right. Unless anybody else wants to jump in on that, we'll move on. Actually, here's another thing from Cuban Boss. Not a question, though. Just a statement, but, you know, it's all good. I'm one of those who sold my PS5 Pro and went PC with a 5080 pre-build, as that is the cheaper option rather than building one myself. I'm really enjoying games like Windrose, Pal World, and keeping my eye on Forsaken Realms, that Vereen's Call. Much love to you guys, and wish you nothing but the best. Thank you for keeping it real. Man, we appreciate that, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And that's cool. Listen, man, you know, Brett, I know you're for that, what he just said. You're like, yeah, build your own shit.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And Brett, get ready. We have a couple more questions about building your own stuff. So, you know, get ready for that.
Fuck yeah for Windrose. That's kind of like there's a kind of game that I think Windrose is one of those kind of games that you don't really like. It's healthier on the Steam ecosystem. It's starting to, you know, branch out a little bit, but Steam has definitely more types of games, even whole genres.
Yeah, definitely more variety. All right, moving on here. JamXM Rezus, he goes, what would be the best way for gamers to fully transition to PC gaming without breaking the bank? Get a Steam machine, build a gaming rig, or buy a pre-built? I'd also appreciate it if Brett could speak on the pros and cons of having a gaming mini PC. Brett, why don't you take this one, man?
Okay. I'm going to speak more from opinion because I think we can all, you know, look at the technical things, or you know, Chris can give us a view on that. But like the mini PCs are almost universally built out of laptop parts, which are a little bit more restrictive and costly. And that a lot of times they're unified memory, which was an Apple centric thing. Sometimes you can get, you know, mini PCs with dedicated GPU, but those things are honestly way more fucking expensive than they're worth, and they're not all that small. Meanwhile, you can get like these weird little mini PCs that I swear to God they're like as big as the palm of your hand, and they're good for like 720 gaming up to 1080. Like, I have a mini PC. It's a Minis Forum 780 Slim.
It's a good company, by the way, just saying that.
It is. And, like, the specs on it, even being a unified memory, is it's got about twice the horsepower of a Steam Deck when you generally get it up and running. But that's, you know, you're also playing it on a bigger screen than is on a Steam Deck. So it runs a little bit better. Sometimes equivalent, sometimes, you know, not, but like it's enough for it is enough to play smaller games, but B, the bigger thing that I found is if you have kind of both, like if you have a gaming PC as like a home server somewhere in your basement, keep it somewhere cool, and then you have one of these little mini PCs that generally aren't that expensive, anywhere you hook it up, it's boom, a console, and you have your own streaming network in-house. So I've got a couple little mini PC ones kind of set up on, you know, a side table next to a monitor arm. Another one is in the other room for like when I actually want to do home office stuff. But I can just kick on my gaming laptop and pop it over anywhere. I was even thinking today, like if I put one of those underneath the TV that I can pop on the TV, use as big monitor, watch YouTube videos, stream video games to it. So they're great, but I don't know if they're the primary thing that you want. They kind of fill this weird same slot as I'd say a Steam Deck does, although a little bit different and honestly a little bit cheaper at this point. So if you're just trying to, everybody, you know, I can imagine it would work great in a house with a lot of people where everybody has, you know, their cell phone, everybody has a mini PC, and then you can have, you know, one big gaming PC that is either, you know, pumping GPU to different parts of the house or just
you know, running a server that then the mini GPU or mini PCs are, you know, like if you're running a multiplayer game, a lot of times if something else is hosting it, then you get more bang for your buck out of the, you know, smaller amount of power you have in there. So you can connect to a dedicated server and play that way with pretty good results. So again, I feel like you need kind of a big PC, but after the big PC is done, I think that kind of creating an ad hoc network with things like Steam Decks or mini PCs is probably the smarter and smarter and more, what am I, versatile. There we go. Versatile way to go. So that's my opinion.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If this question was asked a year ago, it'd be very simple to answer. It'd be really easy. I'd be like, oh, you're brand new to PC gaming. Get a Steam Deck. They're really cheap. You know, give it a shot. See what you like. And after that, maybe step it up. You know, here's the thing. I know pre-built gaming PCs get a lot of flack, but I've reviewed a bunch of them and they can be pretty good, right? Again, a year ago, I would have said you could find a really good one for under $1,000. I also would have said if you really want to step it up, build your own shit. You could save a lot of money that way. That's what I would have said a year ago. Now, I say pray to fucking Christ. Because everything's too fucking expensive. You know, this shit is crazy, man. I think right now, though. Yeah, because Steam Deck isn't fucking cheap anymore. Pre-builds aren't cheap anymore. Building your own shit ain't cheap anymore. Everything's fucking expensive. Although I think now you probably will be better off building your own shit. You know, if you look around and find the right places, you might be able to, might be able to find RAM at a decent price. But shit is fucked up right now, man. I'm not going to lie to you, bro. It got to a point where I had to write an article recommending which DDR4 to buy. And even that's going up in price, you know? It's fucking terrible out there, you know? So I don't think my advice is helping. And I do this shit for a living. You know how much I struggle with this shit? You know, I'm looking at the price of these things go up. I saw a mid-tier gaming laptop from Dell selling for almost $2,000. Mid-tier! Fucking year ago, it would have been $1,200. You know? You're all fucked. You're all fucked. You're all fucked.
Yeah, the one thing I could say is get whatever you can as soon as you can, because it's yes. only getting worse. I saw a thing today, like, a lot of the GPU manufacturers have put out notice to their partners that prices will be going up, and they may be abandoning entry-level cards for more premium flagship products. So the cost of gaming is about to jump, so get whatever you fucking can now. Just punch a nun, steal their wallet, run the Micro Center, and buy whatever's on the shelf.
I got better advice.
Please do, because I'm like, advice. All right, let's go.
Go look for someone selling a built PC at Facebook Marketplace. Maybe they got some gambling debt. Maybe they got some personal loans that they need to pay off. You might get a deal there. That's quite possible. Otherwise, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, what you're saying, it sounds funny, but it's actually good fucking advice. Some motherfuckers may, you know, somebody will be hard up on cash and you might get lucky, bro.
Yeah, because we're all going through this. You are not alone. You know? It's everyone. So, but you know, if you want me to pick one of the ones that you suggested, I would say build your own PC because number one, you probably could get the best deal from that if you're just patient and look up for deals and bundles in some places. And also, building your own PC can be quite a good experience for someone, you know, to build your own PC for the first time. You built it. It's yours. It's your baby.
Building your PC is very easy now. Even my dumbass can do it. You know, it's not as bad as it used to be.
There's plenty of videos. Just don't watch that one video of that one dude.
You know
which one I'm talking about.
If it's from The Verge or my guy Stefan, stay away.
You're clear.
Yes, they're clear. Yes, Carlos has 100% right. So many great YouTube videos showing you how to do this shit, bro. It is not that bad. Shit is fucking color coordinated now. Like, it's like Lego sets almost, you know? I don't want to, like, downplay it, but it kind of is, you know?
And the price of RGBs hasn't gone as high as everything else, so you can get all the RGBs you want.
You know, yeah, you know.
Make it as bright as, make as bright as go the,
faster. You know? That's right.
Make it as bright as Times Square.
Yo, when you make when you turn the lights red, it goes faster.
Yeah.
What about the rest of you? Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Well, the worst part of a PC build now is not the hardware stuff, like you said. It's installing fucking Windows. That's not the worst part of putting together a modern PC.
Oh, now, here's the thing. You don't have to do that. SteamOS.
SteamOS, baby.
Yep. Well, yeah, now that you have, yeah, sure. I would agree with that. I would say, yeah, I'd recommend that. It's just steer clear of Windows 11.
Yeah. If you just want it for pure gaming, yeah, SteamOS, baby. You're good to go.
Even outside of your game, like SteamOS is the only like operating system that doesn't spy on you, sell your data, harvest your shit. Like it is the only truly sovereign operating system left on the fucking market, and that is weird and stupid. But also, Steam plays the game in fucking decades. So like I don't know where this is going, but it's going to be interesting. Because Microsoft shitting the bed while Steam is quietly building the perfect fucking operating system.
This is what happens when you don't have to answer to shareholders, man. Just saying.
Yeah, and I haven't used SteamOS on an actual, you know, on good hardware. Because I've only used it on the Steam Deck, and it's kind of shit, to be honest. The desktop version. So I'm curious to see how it would work with good specs. That'd be pretty.
Yo, Carlos, should we call it SteamOS?
It says Steamos, like Webos.
Like Webos. Oh, man. All right. Brian, you got any thoughts as our resident PC guy?
Yeah, it's a weird time. And I'm pretty much with Tony here. If this was like 2 years ago, I'd easily just say, yeah, just build it yourself. Like these parts are, like, you can get the parts cheap enough and build it for cheaper than any pre-build can. But now, all that advice is out the window, and like it's honestly one of those cases where tomorrow the prices could change so much that whatever answer we give you now could just be gone and meaningless. Like we could say, oh yeah, buy a pre-built, but then pre-builds might go up by $500, or might say, oh yeah, buy used, buy yourself and build it yourself, and then prices just shoot up. So it's more of a case of if you can buy it yourself, just gives you that, well, build it yourself gives you that satisfaction that, hey, you built it yourself and you kind of feel a bit more proud of it. But honestly, I think it's a case of just get what you can, because chances are next week prices will go up regardless. So yeah, just get what you can. See, I can't even say get a Steam Deck, because even that's
no, not anymore
stupidly priced. So I have no answer.
Yeah, just get some prices.
Carlos, get the Adam thing. You
get it ready, just, Carlos.
Yeah, just get something.
Gotta have something.
There it is.
Exactly. Thank you.
There it is.
That might be the most appropriate use of that soundbite.
It really is. I forgot what I was gonna say, but yeah. It's just shit. It sucks. Fucking sucks, bro. Oh yeah, that's what it was. RGT85 has this saying, and it's true. Yesterday's price is not today's price, and today's price is not tomorrow's price. It's how it is, man. All right, let's move on here. Question. Gaming engineer, and Brett, this one's specifically for you, sir.
Oh, snap.
How excited are you for the Valheim 1.0 release in September? I'm surprised that you didn't mention it during last week's question about what games you're going to play this fall.
That's funny, because the question's a bit, what's about a bitch? Honestly, quite literally. My ex played that game with me, and I'm trying to still shake the stink of her off of it so that I can enjoy it without feeling kind of shitty. So, yeah, I mean, That's where it is. I was going through some healing stuff and like fucking got bailed on during the middle of that while having bad medication reactions. So it was just generally a bad time. And sometimes games get connected to that shit. It's not something I'm gonna let sit because I'm not gonna have Valheim fucking ruined. But yeah, bits and pieces. I reclaimed Pal World, so I'll get to Valheim. But probably when the 1.0 release comes out.
Yeah. I think he'll be satisfied with that answer. Because the question he asked there, Brett, is a little bit more of a sanitized version than what he said in the Discord. he was like, hold up, bro. I got to call Brett out. Why the fuck didn't he talk about Valheim? Well, I don't think he's going to dispute that. You know?
Fucking women, that's why.
There you go. There you go, bro. Good stuff. Does anybody here else besides Brett interested in Valheim?
Every single time it gets mentioned, I have no idea what it is. It's so weird. I know it is a game that exists, but I don't know what it looks like in my head.
I just call it the Brett game. That's what I associate with. I don't even know what the gameplay is. It's the Brett game.
It's a survival game. It's a Viking survival game.
Okay. Does it take place in like Valhalla or something? It
takes place in Valheim, which is adjacent to Valhalla.
Ah, there you go. Good stuff.
It's kind of a Dark Souls kind of thing. Like Valhalla is where people go when they died gloriously. Valheim is where people go when they tried to die gloriously but didn't. And uh-oh. Valheim is their second chance. So it's like basically Valheim is the part of Valhalla that Odin cast all of his enemies into, and your job is to be cast into Valhalla to hunt and slay all of the godlike enemies of his, and then hang their heads in a runestone circle. And when you do, Odin will grant you entrance to Valhalla.
Nice. Yes. All right, man. Moving on here. Fergus Mills, people.
Mr. Mills. shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to Fergus Mills, man. All right. Should Microsoft commit to going all digital, or can physical games be a competitive advantage that helps them compete in the next generation console war? I'm telling you, they could gain a lot of points by going, hey, you know what? Our next console is going to have a disc drive. They could gain a lot of points.
I think they would get a lot of points, but I think that the one portion of it is that doesn't like connect to is that I don't think just because a console has gone physical, it would attract the, you know, obviously the PlayStation guys that are talking about, you know, no physical, no, you know, no buy.
Yeah. Well, like, this is why I was very specific with saying point, because they didn't say sales, you know.
Yeah.
I it's going to be very difficult for people to leave the ecosystem they've been on, you know.
Exactly. So it's
like starting over, basically.
Yeah, it is pretty much starting over. But then also, again, it's like what things, you know, at least in the current state of Xbox, what speaks to a PlayStation owner, at least a classic one, right?
Nothing really. Let's just be honest here.
I feel like Hi-Fi Rush was a very PlayStation-y type of game.
Yeah.
But that I don't think that was legitimately enough to bring those guys over.
Yeah. So again, it'll get them points. But sales, I don't know, because again, it's very difficult for people to leave ecosystems.
Also, you notice it again. I think they're also Microsoft, at least for Xbox, is very much evaluating the state that they're going to be doing, what their future plans are. Obviously, you notice they haven't said a damn thing, even though their next gen console is supposed to be the closest to coming out.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see.
So they could. They could absolutely just say at the last minute, nah, we're not doing games, doing that shit either. They're probably looking at all of this. I'm like, okay, what are we going to do about this shit?
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? You think the next Xbox having a disc drive will give them an edge?
I think if they do an open storefront, like if they allow Steam on, that'll give them the edge.
Yeah, and that's what the rumors are saying as well, that they will have Steam on
there. Yeah, that's what'll get me. But honestly, the disc drive, while it's important, like, it's too little too late. Like there's still it's crumbs. You can still do shitty business practices. I don't feel safe if you're just like, hey, we're not getting rid of discs. It's a good start, but it's not enough. You need to give me an open ecosystem.
Remember, they were thinking of locking discs to your console.
Yeah.
That was a part of their little DRM thing that got people pissed off. Where you could literally buy a key, you could go to a store and buy a game, and it would lock to your physical game would lock to your console, so you couldn't even sell it if you wanted to, or let somebody borrow it.
Yeah, screw that.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna move the needle by any stretch of the nation. I think it's something they'll definitely get brownie points for.
Yeah.
But like you mentioned, Tony, it's hard to move people from one platform to the other, one ecosystem to the other, and people are loyal to the PlayStation more than I feel like people realize. And it'll be hard to move those folks. And, you know, it's not like Microsoft isn't going through all the same issues or pretty much all the other same issues that Sony is when it comes to lack of, you know, lack of a games library that's, you know, consistent every year, or the exorbitant amount of price that the new consoles will be coming at. It's all tied together. So I don't think just making the physicals move the needle by any significant measure.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. Another one from Mr. Fergus Mills. Are there any games that you played where normal mode was too easy or too hard and you had to decrease or increase the difficulty to continue enjoying the game?
Nah, at least for me, I'm always been the normal modes. Like, there's a couple of games that like the normal mode was a little bit more difficult than expected. I would say Pragmata is a little bit like that. But once you get into the cycle and understand how it works, it becomes easier. Because yeah. you could get your ass whipped by just like a normal fucking robot if you're not like, you know, if you're not playing it the right way, at least the way they're sort of suggesting the way you play it. So, you know, I've never moved. In fact, I get incredibly frustrated if you die a lot and the fucking game tells you, hey, do you want to make it easy? No, motherfucker, I'm gonna just cut this thing through.
Yeah, what about the rest of you guys?
My answer for that is a game that doesn't have a difficulty setting, but it's Monster Hunter Wilds. That game was so easy.
Yeah, it needed to slide up, you know.
Yeah, I'm like, I wish there was a difficulty slider, because you know.
But it also depended on the monster. Like some of those monsters whip the shit out of you.
Not in the first three or four batch. Yeah,
not in the story mode. Like nothing in the story mode. You could go through that story mode, you know, fine. But I would say like the more upgraded versions of them, like some of those things could be pretty tough. I definitely think the last boss was pretty tough.
Yeah, that was the first time where it Carlos, you and I played that. We were like, why isn't the rest of the game like this? It gave us that feeling we wanted, you know?
I think for a while.
Did you play the thing horn?
Yeah, it's like, whew, man, that was crazy. That big dragon thing with the ice dragon dude. That was nuts.
I think though and I think they said this specifically. I think they wanted more people to fucking finish the game.
Probably, yeah. You know? No, because when they started adding the expansions, like, okay, here we go. You know? I think the first expansion, it was a little too over to them. It was like, shit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that shit, Carlos? We got our ass whooped.
Oh, yeah. We needed our homeboy to pick us up the whole time. What's his name? J-Boy?
J-Boy, yeah. J-Boy. Because we got arrogant because of the game. We're like, oh, hey, look at this guy. He's purple. Let's go fuck him up real quick. You know?
Nope.
That was crazy. For me, I always keep it on normal. It's because mostly, you know, it's for two reasons. One, I just want to experience the game the way the developers have it. But also because I'm reviewing game. Almost every single game I play, I'm reviewing. It's very rare I just play a game for fun. So I want to keep it on normal, even if it's tough sometimes, because I want to give the reader the right experience, you know? Because I know there's some people that sometimes bring it. By the way, not all game journalists put the games on fucking easy. There's some of my homeboys that put the shit harder. I'm like, but you're not giving them the right experience either, you know? But that's just a personal thing. I always keep it on normal. And Manny, just like you, I get mad too. Stop telling me, you know, to lower the difficulty. Let me get my ass whipped. I will persevere, you motherfucker, you know? But yeah, normal, I like playing games on normal. I will only bring it to easy or hard to get trophies, generally speaking. You know, that's about it. I've always been like that. So I was like, let me just play this shit on normal, you know, because I feel most higher difficulties are cheap, you know, because they're reading your fucking controller, you know, or it's just the enemy has a higher health bar. You have a lower one. I'm like, that's fucking cheap. Yeah. Like make the enemy smarter or something, you know,
that's the other thing about the higher difficulties. It always seems like they're cheating to get that higher difficulty. It's like, oh, now your hits don't take as much energy as they used to. Not that the enemies are any smarter or anything. It's just like they just could hit you twice as opposed to, you know, to kill you quicker.
Exactly. What about the rest of you guys?
I just stopped leveling.
You stopped leveling? What if the game doesn't have levels?
I mean, what game these days doesn't fucking have levels?
Fuck. It's a good question. It's everything's an RPG now. You know?
Don't besmirch RPGs like that.
Yeah. No, I'm not misbirching. I'm more bemoaning the fact that everybody decided to rip off of RPGs, you know?
Yeah, well, they could have done it right.
But they didn't.
That's I know.
The problem.
That's the part, like, it's the do or do not. Do not the half measure fucking kills me. Like, oh, put like a skill tree and a level in the leveling system in there. Fucking why?
Shout out to Manny, God of War.
You know?
What was that?
Dad of War. You didn't God like of- that.
Yeah, I thought it was stupid.
Because that leveling and, you know, purple shit, you know, the color-coded loot box shit.
Yeah, the color-coded loot boxes. And I'm like, that was a little bit of a, I don't know, it just felt like it was inspired too much about with the games that were currently exist. But then again, isn't that what God of War initially started as? It was essentially like, hey, I like Devil May Cry and Eco.
Yep. Exactly. All right, I'll keep going on the line here. Brian, what do you do, man? You ever bring games up or down difficulty?
I'm with you, Tony. The only time I do is usually with trophies. Again, I honestly don't think I have. I'm sure that there's been like one or two games where I did do it purely just because I was enjoying the combat. And I think that was Infamous 2. Infamous 1 was ridiculous. Like, that was stupidly tuned. But yeah, Infamous 2, I think I cranked that up. But again, most things either play on normal difficulty or, I usually play on normal just because I think it's interesting. Again, I'm with Tony here. I think 99% of all games don't understand what difficulty actually means. They just crank up health bars and it's boring. It's not fun.
Yeah.
And I think for Dad of War, I actually cranked it down purely because that I just did not enjoy the combat and I just could not slog it through. And then I seen all these people. I think Torrance put like a video up of him playing through like Give Me God of War mode, and he was raging. And I'm like, yeah, I can see why. It's not fun. But yeah, most games, I don't think they deserve a difficulty slider because they don't actually change the difficulty. So I just ignore it.
Yeah, Carlos.
Yeah, I just stick to normal. I don't like to bother with difficulty settings as. Hardly ever, just because it's mostly cheap the way they do it. It's like sliders are moved up and down. Like there's no, it's not like AI's any smarter or anything like that, or different paths and stuff that make the game harder. It's just a whole bunch of sliders. It's like, oh, I need to shoot this enemy a lot more. But I will say, if there was a game that would have made me switch the slider up at least once, it would have been Monster Hunter Wilds.
Yep.
At campaign. So
that's true.
But otherwise, I don't really mess with it.
Yeah. What about you, Chris?
I'm like Brian. I only kind of switch for a trophy. But one game, it didn't have the feature, which I wish it did, because for some reason it was brutally hard on normal, was Devil May Cry 3. The original one, yeah. On normal, I'm like watching a cutscene where this motherfucker's getting stabbed and he's sliding around his office killing all these dudes. And I'm like, yo, it continues there, and I'm like, I'm getting murdered before I could get out of his office. And then, like, I get down the street and I get killed. I'm like, holy shit, why is this so brutally hard? Like, I'm not, you know, you'd think I never played Devil May Cry before. It's like, I played two other games, and they weren't like this. Why is this shit so hard? And you find out later that...
Yes.
Our U.S. normal was Japan hard. So it was actually hard mode here. So I the game, I would have had to start over. I just powered through it. But if they said, hey, you want to kick it out easy? I'd be like, yes, please, because I don't know what's going on here. This is crazy.
Yeah, I think the original version I couldn't beat. It was just too brutal. It wasn't until they released a special edition, which had Japanese normal mode, you know?
Yeah, it fixed it, yeah. I played the original one. Oh, man. I was so pissed, too. I was like, I spent a day trying to get past the first stage.
I remember. Wasn't I there when you got it? Because I could have sworn I remember you playing that game. You're like, what the fuck is going on with this game?
Yeah. No, it was so brutally hard. That was the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like,
what? Yeah, the beginning. Fuck? You're in the office after the pizza thing. Yeah, that was. And, yeah, like you said, you're watching the cutscenes. Like, how come I can take him out so easily there, but I can't in the game? You know?
Yeah.
That ludonarrative dissonance as the...
Yeah, man. Before I go to Rich, I want to read what Fergus says. He goes, I guess I'm an outlier. I start every game on hard and decrease to normal if needed. I don't think you're an outlier. My cousin, he always puts it to the highest difficulty. you know, but he's the voice of God, you know, but he doesn't decrease it. He keeps it high up, you know. And again, one of my other colleagues, his name, Ryan Epps, even though he's reviewing games, he's like, turn that shit all the way up, you know. So, you know, you're not an outlier. You know, I think among this podcast, maybe, but, you know, I don't think you're an outlier. I think there's a lot of people that still do what you do. But yeah, Rich, he does actually. Like when he told me to play the Trails demo, he's like, turn that shit up to, you know, hard. I'm like, fuck that. Like, you're crazy, you know. Because that, even on normal, that game is fucking hard, in my opinion, you know. But yeah, Rich, what about you, man?
Okay, well, first and foremost, this was a phenomenal question. So shout out to Mr. Fergus Mills.
Yes,
as always. I'll say this. I try to play normal, you know, because again, like myself and Tony, we do get access to some games early. And obviously, if it's a game that requires you having to get through something very extensive, it is recommended you don't play on the hardest difficulty, because then you may not get farther into the game.
Yeah.
Now, I will say one thing. There is one game in particular. It's still one of my favorite games. It's this game called Sifu. Okay, when you get to that final boss, I got my ass whooped over and over again, and I was tempted to, you know, maybe I need to change this difficulty setting, but I didn't do it, though. I did not do it, because eventually I was able to beat him. But yeah, it's like, I can understand why somebody would want to change the difficulty if, one, they needed a more of a challenge, or they want to make it easier. But no, once I finally beat that boss, that was awesome. That was a great feeling. And I think that's the whole point, because you're supposed to play that game, learn how to play it a certain type of way, and really master how to play it the right way. So, but no, I just try to keep everything on normal for the most part.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Since we're making good time, I want to get to some leftover questions from last week. May as well get them out of the way. We clear the backlog here.
The dance floor.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, these are going to be two questions from JamXM Rezus. So the first one here is, there was a feud in the Resident Evil community between OG Resident Evil 4 fans and Remake fans. Which one do you guys prefer? And why does it seem like Gen Z thinks the games of our older generations are inferior to their modern Remake versions, and we're simply blinded by nostalgia? On paper, GTA 5 is a better game than GTA 3, but GTA 3 revolutionized so much. It's like two questions in one. I don't know where these conversations were taking place. I didn't realize there was a feud between Resident Evil 4 fans.
Oh yeah, it's happened like between the two. Like, you know, there's definitely the, you know, the ones that like the original, and then there's ones that like the other one, but I think it also depends on where, like, it's sort of like the division between the two types of Sonic fans. Like, there are definitely Sonic fans that seem to like those Endless Runner games that came out after a certain point.
Yes.
And then there's the classic fans. So it's a set that same sort of separation.
Interesting. Yeah, because again, it's all anecdotal here, but from my experience, it's like both games are still beloved. There are some, I think the older game gets a little bit more hate, but there were definitely people like me who was like, oh, don't remake this game. It's already perfect as it is. Then a remake comes out. It's like, oh, this is fucking good, you know? So to me, I'm going to embody the meme. Why not both, you know? But yeah, Chris, have you seen any of that, you know, division, you know, as a Resident Evil guy?
The only thing I've seen from Resident Evil 4 fans, this is where Resident Evil fans get weird, is the depiction of Ada Wong. It's the Ada Wong guys that are, like, fucking crazy. Because there's those guys like prefer the original version, the red dress, OG one versus the new one. And then there's some like new one. I don't know why there's this weird fighting. I don't know why people are weird about her. Stop being weird. It's a game character. And to me, I agree with the bow thing, because like, while I like things in the original game, and I think like the campy dialogue, because there was some English in there, so yes, some of the way the characters played off each other was hilarious. And I like the new one because I like the characterization of Leon better in the remake than the old one. You know, he's in the old one, he's kind of this lovesick puppy dog. It's like, oh, I haven't seen you since Resident Evil 2. How are you doing? And in 4, he's just like, bitch, you lied to me. I don't want to talk.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because they definitely each have their strengths and weaknesses. So I'm like, I'm not picking between them. I like them both, motherfucker. Yeah. Does anybody here have any like a hard line stance that they pick one over the other?
No, not really. I mean, nostalgia does carry a lot of weight. So when you play a game for the first time and fall in love with a game for the first time, it's hard to top that for someone like that, for someone that's going through that. For example, like me, when, you know, I roll my eyes when I see, you know, Halo Combat Evolved get remade for the third time.
Oh, or, man.
You know, Star yeah. Fox getting remade for the fourth time or whatever it is. So it's like, yeah, I would expect, I think Chris talked about something about this similarly a couple of weeks ago. He's like, yeah, this game will probably be better than the original, you know, but, you know, it's not the same. So, but I also, you know, I love the Resident Evil remakes as well. And I think a lot of those are play better. If they remade Resident Evil 5, I'm pretty sure it's going to be play better than Resident Evil 5 when it came out.
Yeah.
Or 6. I mean, if they remade 6, it would be a godsend. So I don't really draw a line in the sand when it comes to that. Final Fantasy VII remake, I was actually kind of opposed to that at the beginning. I'm like, how the hell can they remake a game that's already, you know, one of the best games ever made? And I appreciated the direction they took with that. They didn't just do a straight line remake. They actually, you know, changed stuff, even though it still stayed true to the story. But, you know, they changed it enough to make you be like, oh, this is interesting. You know, it digs you deep into what you're playing and experiencing something not only again, but also some stuff for the first time. So, yeah, I don't really fall within one or the other.
Yeah. Shout out to Wood Pitt. He goes, this is really more a message for Adam, who isn't here. Ghost Recon Wildlands 4K 60fps comes out in a week. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Adam's hyped about that.
You know, gotta have something.
Yep, that's his game right there. I don't know if I played or not. I don't really care for those games anyway.
I played with him, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Enjoy it. All right, so there you go. Are you excited, Chris, to play it again?
I mean, I'll check it out for sure. I did like playing it, and playing with somebody is a little better because the AI was kind of dumb. I don't know if they fixed that. I did not play Broke Point, though. I know they rely 100% on bots, so I don't know how that is. But Wildlands was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I do remember playing some of Broke Point. I didn't like it, so yeah. All right, another question here from Jam. I think I'm just going to call him Jam from now on.
Jam. Jam, here comes the man.
He goes, uh-oh, this may be a controversial question, but it's something, I've wondered about for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Why do people seem to have sympathy for game developers and their crunch time struggles, yet that sympathy isn't extended to literally every other job? Warehouse workers, delivery guys, retail workers. Most of us deal with some level of yearly crunch, especially during the holidays, Black Friday deals. But no one is advocating for those guys in the same way we do for game developers. What's up with that?
Because it happens all over the place. I've said this before. I work freelance. I said, I'll take crunch any day over fucking working the insane amount of hours I need to get to hit a deadline for any of the things that I've done. At least you're getting paid, you know? But I mean, I think the thing about it is that it's at the forefront because somebody made it at the forefront, it is being reported on. Like, there was a point, you know, obviously in the old days, you read books like, was it the Jungle? Or, you know, books about the Industrial Revolution or articles, about them adding weekends to factory time, you know, because people used to work 7 days a fucking week.
Fuck.
You know, so there it takes being that the game, you know, games are at the forefront and there's a specific game journalists that are reporting on these things. These stories get out because they mean something to the greater gaming public.
Yeah.
I disagree with the premise.
Uh-oh.
The question. I don't think video game developers get more sympathy when it comes to crunch because it's only really one dude that's reporting on this.
That's most Jason?
Part. Yeah. Is a Tony's boy, Jason Schreier.
You know?
And crunch is still going on. Whether Jason reports it or not, So mm-hmm. it's not like they've also eliminated Crunch from.
Also, I will say Jason is incredibly selective as to what he specifically talks about. There's a certain instance when he's supposed to talk about certain Crunch, and he decided to put it inside of his book that he wanted to sell. Just saying, if you're supposedly going for the people, if you know, shining a spotlight, altruistic spotlight on the way things go on in the industry. That shit should have been in your book. You should have put that thing out as an article.
Yeah. No, he wanted an exclusive, you know, like.
He wanted that exclusive.
You know, or exclusive piece of content, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, when it comes to just the regular job, we would have, if those weren't as, you know, as sympathetic for those causes, I mean, like you guys mentioned, there would have been 7-day work weeks, no overtime, most part.
Well, here's the other thing, too. The other jobs he mentioned, don't they have unions?
Yeah.
Game developers have no unions.
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody in game development says, hey, I don't like this crunch hours, I don't want to sleep under my desk, there's no resolution, there's no advocacy group to go to, you don't have a union to go to, anything you're paying dues into that's gonna like fight for you, you're just out, you're out the door. If you don't want, hey, if you don't like the hours, leave. Like that's how mm-hmm. it is. So I think there's not, I agree with Carlos. I don't think the premise of this question is correct. I don't think there's less sympathy for anyone who is given a rough share. Kids like, oh, you're working 60, 70, 8-hour weeks or whatever. Nobody's okay with that. Like, I don't think anybody, except maybe if you're in management or an executive level, maybe they're soulless. Okay. They're okay with it. Everyone else is humans. Like, yeah, that sucks. No, nobody's, okay, it doesn't matter what you do. It's just, but if you're looking at perspective of like a warehouse worker versus a developer, at least a warehouse worker, or whatever, or delivery guy has some sort of union backing him.
Yeah.
Game developers have no one backing them.
I think that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, those guys have unions. Game developers do not.
And,
you know,
and even then, some of those guys don't even have unions either. What was it, that thing? That Amazon, you know, video that essentially said, hey, listen, if anybody talks about fair wages or, you know, living wage or any of that sort of stuff, they have to be reevaluated.
Oh, shit.
You know? You know, sneaky shit.
Well, no, Amazon, yeah, Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon, nice yeah.
to work. But from top to bottom, they suck. Like, they're a revolving door, whether you're in the warehouse or you're a developer. I hear mm-hmm. things from Amazon developers. They just state, I think the average life of a Amazon developer, whether you're a senior engineer or whatever, it's like 1.5 years.
Damn. They don't that's last. A high turnaround rate. Shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Where's that? Where's that expose, Jason Schreier?
Yeah.
Wait, which company, Chris?
Amazon.
Oh. Yeah. They
have high turnaround. Them, Apple, and some, but they had a high turnaround.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, I wonder, you know, there's a particular game coming out in a couple of months, a really anticipated game. People say it's the most anticipated game behind.
Uh-oh.
I'm pretty sure, you know, I have no evidence. I'm not stating this as a fact, but I'm pretty sure there's some sort of crunch going around in those offices.
The Eye of Sauron? Do you mean the
Yeah, Eye of remember Sauron? That? Remember that, yeah. Carlos? The Eye of Sauron. Yep.
So if the certain individual does not report on that, I'm pretty sure that's going to be a choice.
Excuse me?
You know,
yeah, so, you're right about that.
Because, you know, well, reporting crunch on a certain studio that's developing a certain game might give you way more blowback than you're willing to handle. And you understand that. Maybe that's why that doesn't get reported.
I'm making a prediction right now, Carlos.
No.
You will get that report a few years down the line. Way after the fact.
When it doesn't mean, when everybody's already let go or whatever. Yeah, then
I was actually told this information. I've known it for months, but I'm speaking about it now. Look how altruistic I am.
He's very strategic when all of us things start to happen.
Yeah, it's amazing. You
know, like a year away, it'll be like.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the last couple questions here. Mr. Lego Bro, this one's interesting. What are the best? What are the three best game engines? So I'm going to just leave it open.
Currently or of all time?
The
Yeah, right.
Yes, I'm the greatest engine ever created.
Yeah. I'm gonna start with the Yeah, it just works. I'm gonna start with the obvious one. RE Engine.
RE Engine is very nice these days.
It's good.
Because it's
good stuff. Whatever engine that Remedy uses, they're the little in-house engine.
That's a good one.
That one's a pretty tough cookie right there. You know, they were one of the earlier ones to implement a software ray tracing solution all the way back on the game Control. Granted, on certain consoles, that game did not run amazingly.
Uh-oh. Manny, I'm surprised you didn't say, Decima.
Decima's nice.
Yeah, looks Kojima, good. You know.
But I mean, you know, he's it's so nice that he's not using it for the next game.
Uh-oh.
He's not using
it. Oh, for the OD?
Yeah, OD?
Yeah, he's not using an effort OD. He's using Unreal.
Oh,
damn.
Ugh.
Interesting.
Oh. I'm sure he probably couldn't get any, any approval for fucking a PlayStation engine to be used on an Xbox console.
That is a fact. That is a fact.
But, Decima looks good, but I think, like, you know, it looks good. I just, like, it's not something I really think of that much, though.
Yeah. Yeah, Decima for me, for sure. You know, it looks fucking awesome. What are some other engines you guys like?
I like id Tech.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Doom? Yeah,
it's a pretty tough engine. It runs just like the old ones. It runs on pretty much anything, right?
Very well optimized. Very well optimized, for sure.
Runs on a Switch.
Yeah. I did like the CD Projekt Red engine, but that's being, you know, the retired. Yeah, that's been retired now. They don't count anymore.
It's interesting that they're just, I mean, granted, I heard that it was also incredibly difficult to develop for, too.
Yeah.
It's probably why they're the change. I don't know.
I have mixed feelings on Frostbite because sometimes it's really good, sometimes it isn't.
Yeah, Frostbite can be a little bit, kind of be a little squirrely at times.
Like Dragon Age?
Yeah, like Dragon Age. It was not meant for RPGs, that's for sure. But on the Division, looked good. It got snow.
It was in New York.
Yeah. What are some other engines? Because now, like, proprietary engines are becoming rarer. Everybody's just fucking Unreal now, you know?
The Ubisoft engine's actually pretty damn crazy. The one, you know, like, their in-house engine? Like, the Avatar game, you know, I'm not that interested in Avatar, but it looked pretty good.
And wait, for the new isn't Assassin's the Ubisoft... Oh, yeah, what is the Ubisoft one? They actually have a name for that one.
Yeah, I don't know what the name of it is.
It was Anvil.
Anvil. There we go. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, the Anvil engine's pretty nice. I mean, granted, it's like...
I prefer the Tynamon engine.
Yeah, you know, it's been used on a lot of stuff. Like, the new Assassin's Creed does look very nice. Or any of the later Assassin's Creed looked nice. Granted, Assassin's Creed Freedom or whatever the hell it was called? The one that takes place during the French Revolution?
Why am I forgetting the name of the game?
Not Unity.
It is Unity. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also an engine.
Yeah. That one's the same engine, but like that first implementation of that engine on that game, oof.
That was brutal.
Rough one. It caused the PlayStation 4 to go on fire.
Woodpit says Cryogen. Is the Cryogen still being used for anything?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard anything significant from that
thing. I mean, there aren't any more crisis games, so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, because I guess the said part of this question is like we're keeping it to current engines, you know, because I you don't want me to start busting out CPS2 or something. You know, we're not gonna go back that far. But yeah, CryEngine was dope for its day for sure. You know, like, yo, can it run Crysis? That was the same for many years. Now it's like, can it run Cyberpunk?
You know what's also good? The Rockstar engine, the one Red Dead 2. And I'm pretty sure that GTA 6 is the same one.
Why am I forgetting the name of that engine?
The Rockin'.
The Rock engine.
I never remember which way around. Either it's the Rage engine or
Rage.
Euphoria engine.
It's
the what? Was it
Rage? It was Rage. I don't know about Euphoria though. Maybe that's the current name of
definitely
it.
Definitely Euphoria.
Yeah, I think it's Rage. Rage.
Because one of them was the name of the physics system, and the other one was the engine. I just never gotten the right way around.
Yeah, I believe you're right though. I think it's Rage. Engine. Let's see. What is GTA 6? The Rockstar Advanced Game Engine. Rage. There you go. It's actually Rage 9. Excuse me?
Uh-oh.
Wasn't that the engine they built for fucking the ping pong game that Adam likes?
Ping pong?
Yeah.
Oh, table tennis?
Yeah, yeah.
Table tennis.
Just table tennis. He wouldn't like me calling it ping pong.
It's ping pong. Just don't say when he's in the room.
Yeah, just exactly. Warhorse Studio still uses a custom version of the CryEngine. There you go. The Kingdom Come Deliverance dudes. That's cool. Good you stuff.
You're going to say Unreal?
Man.
The Applebee's of engines.
The Applebee's of engines.
It's got everything.
Yeah. Nah, no Unreal here, man. What a disappointment Unreal Engine 5 has been, man. After that initial showing, I was like, excuse me? You know, but every game that uses it has been fucked up in some way. It's crazy, man. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's not every game, but a lot of them are.
A lot of them. You know, there's a record. You know,
there's,
you know?
There's always, it's always the ones that's like, wait, Unreal actually runs good on this? Unreal 5 actually yes. runs good with this game? So it's like the opposite way around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that there's exceptions lets you know it's not a great engine, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Last question of the show. This one might be controversial, people.
Uh-oh.
We'll see what happens. What keeps you guys doing the throwdown? Most game podcasts just slowly fade away, which is true.
Well, because most of those podcasts are chasing numbers and want to make an actual living out of it.
Ooh, that's a good point.
We just want to talk to each other.
It's sort of a really good excuse to sort of get together every or twice a week to try to just talk about shit. I mean, like,
These guys are my homies.
Yeah. If we spend more time like doing that stuff, but then I feel like that's when it would not become fun. Like if we're starting to chase those stupid ass numbers, like if we're starting to like, you know, do that sort of stuff, I feel like we'll sort of lose what was really sort of special about the show. Like I'd much rather us do, if we do start getting bigger numbers, I would much rather it be doing the things that we do best. Like yeah. what we currently do, as opposed to just going, hey guys, welcome to Throwdown. These topics this week. Like doing the whole fucking shilly bullshit.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting question because, you know, and this is some shit I haven't told any of you guys, man. You know, because obviously for years doing this, it's always been like, oh, Thursday and Sunday, let's fucking go, you know? But, and I could pinpoint the date during the Christmas week when I was off in 2024, that's when the first time it happened. I was like, do I really want to keep doing this fucking podcast? You know? And it's no secret that this generation has really sucked the life out of me when it comes to gaming, right? So there will be an expiration date for Throwdown, but we're not going to fade away. When we end, you're going to know months ahead of time, you know? Because you're right, some podcasts, they just stop. They fucking just go, you know? But yeah, I will admit it is very difficult to do this podcast when every fucking week we just come in to talk about bad shit because there's no good news to talk about. That's why Summer Game Fest was such a breath of fresh air. It's like, oh, there's actually good news to talk about, you know? So for me, what's keeping me going right now is more or less obligation, you know, because I don't like even talk about games anymore because it's all fucking bad news, you know? It is what it is, man. Talking to the homies, that's a main count one too. And obligation to the fans, you know, because you guys like listening to our show. And it is a good way of just venting. I don't have to worry too much about how I present things here because no one, I'm just going to be honest, no one listens to this fucking show, you know? So I don't have to worry about that shit. But no, we talked about this last week where it's like, you know, how long do you see yourself being a gamer. Again, when I hit 50, there's going to be a lot of reassessing, man. You know, there's going to be a lot of reassessing. So we'll see what happens. But again, I've always known I would bow out of gaming even when I was in my early 30s. Like when it gets to a point where it's too much bullshit, you know, and back then the reason was, you know, when every game becomes an online shooter microtransaction bullshit, I'm like, that's when I'm done. Now it's like, I may just be priced out of fucking gaming because the shit has cost too much, you know? And then there's other factors like, you see how vitriolic the community is and shit. Everything's a fucking fight. Everything's just a big battle and stuff. Everybody's getting ripped off everywhere. It's like, there's no good news to talk about anymore. And it fucking sucks, you know? But we'll keep it here as long as we can, but there will come a day where Throwdown will be over, but you will know months ahead of time, you know, we won't just leave and shit. And the whole thing, like, yeah, we're not going to fade away just because we keep to a schedule, you know, like, let's just be honest, Torrance, I love you, man. But when you were closing on Warzone, it was just like, you get spotty episodes here and there, you know, you're not going to get that shit from us, you know? But yeah, gaming fucking sucks now. It fucking sucks. It's bad. you know? I don't know if anybody wants to end it on some cheerier news, but it's shit. It's all shit.
But I don't like, I feel like the clowning on the industry also sort of helped. Like, you know, I guess it is some sort of bad news, like here and there. But I also think it's like also clowning on it. Like, share, what do they call it? Say, misery loves company.
Yes.
You know, like sort of like, you know, obviously the disappointing news, but also sort of just clowning on the stupidity of it all, too, I think is therapeutic.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I joined this podcast like I think almost 10 years to the day,
pretty much.
And I spent most of the my first time introducing to the fans complaining about the industry. I was complaining about the remaster situation because every game was a remaster. It was during right after the PS4 was released. And it was like mostly just remasters and people were eating that shit up. And I was the only one losing my mind. And I was like, isn't anybody seeing this? I was like this.
The tea leaves were like slapping you in the face.
I feel like, look, this is not to brag or anything, but I feel like just everyone just caught up to me like in the last couple of years.
Yo, Carlos, would you say you were the canary in the coal mine?
Something. You know, the thing about gaming is I still appreciate like the high moments, and you still get those from time to time. You know, like Elden Ring and Monster Hunter Worlds and stuff like that. Like I'm glad that I'm doing it and talking to people about it. And to me, I think I'm unique. Maybe there's someone else in the panel that's like me, but I don't really have friends that play video games as much.
Interesting.
This is it. Like this is the only. These are the only folks that I talk to that are my friends that I talk to about gaming. Like I have a couple of other friends that, you know, I talk gaming, but it's like really, really like limited. It's mostly other stuff.
Yeah. I'm the opposite. I think I only have like one friend that doesn't game regularly, you know, our boy Mike, and he used to be a gamer too. Woodpit, we've been going on for almost 13 years, bro. So we've been around, bro. We've been around probably maybe 14 years. I got to do the actual numbers, but because we started in 2012. So that would be 14 years, I believe. Yeah.
I mean, whatever point we were still on STFU and play, you or at least you started on there. And then, you know, then there's the second, you know, which we are officially on the second season of Throwdown.
Yeah,
just this iteration.
I call it volume because I kind of took inspiration from comic book. You get the renumbering and shit. Brand new number one.
We're on volume two.
Go ahead, bro.
Ultimate Throwdown.
And we should, right? Rebrand the shit. Throwdown. A brand new number one. Yeah, but this version of Throwdown with Pit has been going on since 2014, which would be 12 years. Yeah. And listen, man, to our credit, never missed a beat. Never missed a single episode, you know? That's why, you know, I was talking to Riku. He was like, yo, when y'all gonna do that episode 700? I could tell him exactly when episode 700 is gonna happen, you know, because I know there's not gonna be any missed episodes. By the way, I could tell you right now, son. episode 700 will happen if my calendar works here. It'll probably happen on, and I'm saying probably because I had to just figure everything out. It's probably gonna be on the 3rd of September because it's usually the first week. But it's usually the first full week. It's not a full week because there's a 31st in there. But it'll be in that time, you know. And obviously, we're going to, you know, like Riku, he will be on because he was OG Throwdown. Probably get Torrance on. Maybe we get Hip Hop Gamer. We can talk about AI.
No.
You know? The thing is, when you have, you know, Torrance and Hip Hop on, no show. You don't need show notes. There's no point.
Well, yeah, they'll take the show over. That's it. It's their show.
Yeah,
it becomes the war zone again.
It's pretty much like you take it over, you know.
Also, a suggestion for the panel: if we do end Throwdown, let's do it on an even number, like on a like 800, 900.
Yeah, I think we're not gonna end it this year. You know, 700 is way too short notice. But I've been thinking about this again for like 2 weeks. This is how you know it's also not just a whim thing. I've been thinking about this for 2.5 years now. It's like the end of Throwdown. So it'll either be on a 50 episode, Carlos, or a zero episode, if you know what I mean. in September, you know? So maybe next year, but it'll probably be, if we enter it on, it may be on 800, you know? Because my original thought was, let's wait until the next gen starts. But I don't think next gen's going to get make things any better. I think it's going to get worse, you know? I can at least make that promise. If and when we end the show, because we're not going to be doing this show when we're 60. You know, that's crazy.
We'd have to hold this podcast. No.
You know these motherfuckers in Gamertag Radio are still going to be doing this shit.
Shout out to them. You know?
Yeah.
Listen, shout out to them. They're already in their 50s, you know? So shout out to those brothers. But no, it'll definitely be on an even episode in early, you know, the first week of September when it happens. Not this one. We're still keeping the train rolling. There may be hope, people. There may be hope. You never know. Hey, listen, I had that rekindled when I, you know, got back into fighting games. I felt the spirit again, you know? So something may happen. But, you know, my thing is I would rather go out on top than fade away. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to go out on a high note. Like, yeah, and I already thought about this, bro. The last episode won't even be numbered. It'll just be called The Final Throwdown, you know? We're going to do it big, you know?
Spectacular. Are we going to do a final throwdown your questions?
Final throwdown, excuse me? 5-hour episode, you know? You guys are great. Keep going. Yeah, appreciate it, man. We will definitely do something to keep the community going because the community is fucking awesome, you know?
Here's what Carlos. For the final episodes, we go back to classic throwdown. We merge them back into one as it always was. Oh, no.
You don't talk about him.
Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. What's the original version?
Emerging throwdown, your questions and throwdown.
Oh, shit.
Show again.
Mm-hmm. Brian, I like the way you think.
Show.
And listen, if it's the last one, we got to go out in style, you know? We may have to do that shit in the afternoon, you know? That would be hilarious. But yeah, throwdown will eventually end, but, you know, it won't be anytime soon. Definitely not this year, you know? Next year, we'll see. Because I kind of like the idea of 800, you know what I'm saying? Like a nice even number and shit, you know? Or it'll actually be 1,600 episodes, people, if you combine both episodes, you know? But who knows? Maybe the gaming industry will change. Maybe things will improve. You know, we'll see what happens, you know. But again, I would rather the show go out on a high note than just like, we're just going to stop now, you know. But yeah, good stuff. We also went through all our backup questions. So we are clean, people. We're back in the black, as they say.
Simple and clean, like the Kingdom Hearts song.
You walk away.
It's funny. All right, man, let's start wrapping it up. So, Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yeah, so let me say this first and foremost. Hey, listen, I think that was a good conversation. I was waiting for Tony because he said it's going to be controversial. I think what you said made a lot of sense to go out on top, but I will say this. I agree with a lot of what was said. You know, I enjoy coming to this, having these discussions with you guys. We all play games. So I think I would say, yeah, I just continue to make everything great moving forward. Yeah,
I appreciate that.
But as for the Coalition, first and foremost, shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, friend of the show. Himself, Mr. Carlos Romero, and I, we recorded our first episode of The Walking Dead, Dead City. Oh, wait, hold on. The Walking Dead, Dead City, Season 3. Yes, our first episode is live right now on thecoalition.com. It's also live on YouTube. So definitely check it out. Let us know what you think of the show. And I know Carlos said that this is his favorite TV show of the entire year. We will see if that continues, however, because you know, there is a whole bunch of other things dropping. So stay tuned for that. Also, for Mr. Adam Vale, TV Terminal, I know he is working on several shows. So stay tuned. Check out his YouTube. The TV Terminal, check out The Coalition. And as for the gaming stuff, listen, I have been playing a couple of different things. I can't really talk about too many things. What I will say is this, and this is a call back to everything Tony said. Yes, the industry is in a bad state right now. The job stuff is terrible. However, I'm not going to sit here and tell you this has been a phenomenal year for game releases. And again, the second half of this year, it's going to be great. And I've been playing some things that are really, really good. So you might want to stay tuned to thecoalition.com as well as the Coalition Gaming channel, because I will be having some stuff up when I can actually talk about stuff and when the embargoes are over. But yes, stay tuned. There is a lot of great games coming. The industry is bad now, but I'm telling you, the future is bright. I can see it. So stay tuned.
Now, Rich, when you said there are some good games coming the last half of the year, do you mean there are some good games coming in September? Because everything's coming out that fucking month.
Hey, that's a great question. Listen, there are some good things coming in August. There are some good things coming in September. There are some good things coming in October and November. I can't speak for December because I don't know what the hell is coming out in December. But no, there's a lot of stuff coming. September, yeah, there's a couple things. October, though, because some stuff got moved to October.
So. Ah, yeah. Yeah. But obviously, we all know the biggest game of November is going to be Godzilla, you know?
Absolutely. Godzilla and Barbie. Those are the only two games you should play in November. Yes, absolutely. Oh,
man, good stuff. Mr. Emilio, what you got going?
Yeah, so, you know, Comic-Con happened. All kinds of crazy announcements. And if you were there, I'm hoping that you did head over to the Ignition Press booth and pick up a copy of the Ashcan preview of Dinner Date Number 1, a new comic written by Joanne Starr, drawn by Kara Randolph, and colored by myself. So,
yay.
Yeah, first, I think it's the first 10 pages of it. But yeah, it's out there on the streets. Well, it's going, and the official release is going to be in October, just in time for Halloween. So a little bit of horror goodness for you all, though. And obviously, we'll always talk about this until it comes out, which is TMNT. Tales of the TMNT, number one, which has a cover by Kara and myself. Us doing a different iterations. I think we've drawn every single iteration of them. Maybe one of the, maybe the Rise ones we didn't do.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, that's out there. And then also, as always, keep an eye out on my socials and stuff, because there might be some other things coming.
Ooh. By the way, how long have you and Kari been working together?
It's got to be over 20 years now.
Damn, that's what I was thinking.
We started working together in 2009, right after we all got let go from 4Kids Productions on the Ninja Turtles cartoon. So from 2009 on. So, yeah, what is that? 10 years? 20, yeah.
No, it's not 20, but it's getting close.
16 years, like something it's like that?
17.
17? Yeah. Okay, so yeah. So
yeah, because you brothers have known each other for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've known him, you know, just in passing from before. But yeah, once he fully came onto staff, we got to know each other pretty well. And we still talk to all the old team. We lost one of our team this year, Edwin Nebris, to do our story. It's interesting, you know, going through the years, because it's like you never think some people are just, that's going to happen.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I was trying to find a date here, but I could pull up a picture because I want to give Kari love. You know, he's a good guy. Kari mm-hmm. is working on a new Vixen series. You guys could see little photo there.
Yep, that's a new thing.
Yeah, I was looking for an exact release date, but it should be this year. You know, give Kari love, Ben. Hey, Kari's a good guy, you know? Again, we used to play Destiny together a lot as well.
I mean, you know what he said to me when he heard about Destiny was closing down? He's like, yeah. Man, he's like, he started playing other games. So he's playing he's catching up with the last, I don't know how many, 10 years of games. He's like, yo, man, I was playing Nier Automata. That game is fire. I'm like, okay, so you're going through the queue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because Destiny just clogged everything up.
Because his game is gone. So.
That's funny, man. Yeah. All right, man. We are out of here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch. He's muted. Let me see if he's going to join. If not, I'll do it for him. It's been a real... Oh, there he is. Hey, Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
I'm at a point now where Wilson does it more for me than that Avengers Doomsday trailer does.
Shit! Yeah. To quote Dana Abercrombie, I felt nothing.
To quote Richard Bay, R.G. Bay, come on, Carlos.
Get that trash out of here. Get that trash out of here.
Oh, man, good stuff. All right, guys, we shall return on Thursday. Later.
Later.